This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
In a very well-known suburb, Naperville, Illinois, which has been rated one of the top places to live in all of America by Money Magazine. And so we came out today, we thought we'd hit the streets of Naperville itself and ask the question, why the suburbs? What's so great about them? So check this out.
Well, it's clean and it's quiet, safe.
All the people, I guess. I live by my family. I get to see everybody all the time. There's stuff to do all the time. Shopping for her, yeah, she likes shopping. How about you? Why do you like the suburbs?
Well, we were just kind of talking about it. I used to live in the city, and I love it out here because it's kind of kind of have the allure of being in the city without all the traffic. It's just a great place to live.
I don't know, more family environment, I think, in the suburbs. More neighborliness.
Oh, I just think there's so much more for them out here as far as athletics. The schools are excellent. I don't know, you've got this thing right in my face. You're making me nervous.
That's not so loud. That's quietly and this kind of more harmonical. I don't know, I like to live here. It's more green, more nature.
Excuse me, gentlemen, what do you guys think of living in the suburbs? Excuse me, could you speak up just a little bit?
Just the trees, the beautiful community, the sense of community, the fresh air, places to walk. It's definitely more kid-friendly. Education, I would say, like a lot more programs. The library has a special thing for kids. There's so many things. I can't even list them. The arts, the everything. You can get everything that you can get in this city here, I think. Safer. Safety, too.
Yeah.
I definitely feel safer.
Okay. Hey, that's awesome. Thank you.
Unless you're going to rob us right now.
I don't know, a little bit less crowded than a city. It's getting more, getting more convenient with the stores and everything to shop, but realistically, I would rather go someplace else for the stores.
Right.
Yeah, because I like the peace and quiet. I don't like the people coming out there.
The quietness, the people, the parks, you can walk around, and just everything. Nature. There's more nature out here.
Is all suburban dwellers or
Los Angeles?
Are you? That's quite a suburb.
I don't know. I'm more of a non-city person, so I like the wide open spaces.
I'm on the city council of where I live too.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was a mayor. I'm the mayor.
We're talking to a mayor right here.
You know, you have to have a sense of community, and you don't have it in a big city.
Wow. It's amazing.
I think it's the raising children, families. When you have children, you want space. You want the education.
You need a friendlier atmosphere for children.
We have a house. We like having a house versus being in an apartment above some street. You know, we like having the green area.
It's peaceful. It's quiet. Not like the city where it's loud and busy and airplanes running all over the place.
What do you think? Life in the suburbs. Yes, he's like, I'm not talking in that
thing. Likes to.
Sir, would you stop looking at me like that? Seriously, you're... Stop it.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Wow, what a crowd. What a crowd. Now, I just hope people do come to church tomorrow. Just have your cell phones turned on. We will call you, and you get back here as quick as you can, okay? Man, good to see you guys. My name is Scott Hodge. I'm the lead pastor here at The Orchard, and just really good to have you guys here tonight. We're starting a new series tonight called Suburban Myths, and so I thought I would start with a little game. Does that sound okay with you guys? Yeah, we all love games, don't we? Okay, so here's a few words. Here we go. Ready? Okay, Starbucks. No, you don't have to say anything. That was kind of weird. Wow. At least you're alive tonight. That's good. That's good. You've had the chance to have some coffee, apparently. Okay, let's do that again. Starbucks. You guys are really rowdy tonight. Seriously. Okay, Panera. Target. Chili's. Walmart. Cold Stone Creamery. Barnes & Noble. Applebee's. Okay, so here's a question. What do all of these places have in common? Okay, well, here's the answer. Here's the answer. They are all within walking distance of my house. That's right, they are. No lie. And yes, you guessed it. Like most of you, I live in the suburbs. But not just a suburb. I live in what I think is actually sometimes considered like the epitome of the suburbs. In fact, just to give you sort of an idea, okay, if you were to come over to my house tonight and you were to, and that's not an open invitation, just so you know, but if you were to come over to my house and you were to go upstairs in any of my children's rooms and look out their windows, guess what you would see? You would actually see a Starbucks. No lie, you can see it from my house. Isn't that awesome? Why, a dangerous thing. It's a good thing I don't walk in my sleep, you know. And here's what else. You'll also see a Panera Bread. And you'll also see a Chili's, okay? And then next to that, guess what else you'll see? You will see a strip mall. Oh, yeah. And then next to that, can anybody guess? Another strip mall. And then, okay, if you get into your car and you drive like, you know, I don't know, a quarter mile in any direction, and I said drive because, you know, that's what we do in the suburbs. We drive everywhere, don't we? We don't walk, we drive. And so if you get in the car and you drive a quarter mile in either direction, you've got, let's see, more strip malls. That's right, and more chain restaurants, and more subdivisions, and more schools, and more minivans, and more SUVs. Can anybody relate to this life? I mean, this is life in the suburbs. You know, the word suburb comes from a Latin word, suburbium. And it is formed using two words. Sub, which means, of course, under, and then the word urbis. And I know you want to say that so bad, so go ahead. Urbis, yeah. So, like, you know, tomorrow you can, like, when you meet somebody, you go, yo, you ever heard the word urbis? Yeah, I didn't think so. I learned that in church last night. Saturday night services, Orchard Valley. Anyway, okay, so it's two words. It's sub and then urbis, which gives us the phrase under the city, or in our context, it would be, I guess, maybe away from the city, right? Speaking of away from the city, I've got to tell you the story. A friend of mine who is in his mid-80s was telling me one time, and in fact, he loves to tell the story about something that happened to him and his family when he was just a kid living in a neighborhood in Chicago. Well, one night, his family is at home, and they are in bed sleeping, when all of a sudden, they are abruptly awakened by this horrendous sound of gunshots right outside their window. And of course, the next day, my friend's father went to the police and said, okay, what's going on? I mean, there's obviously something happening in the neighborhood. Can you tell us what happened? And he was told that this is honest to God truth, that the Al Capone gang had gotten into a gunfight right outside their apartment the night before. And so that freaked everybody out. So that, get this, the same day, my friend's dad pulled the family together, said, okay, listen, here's the deal. Pack everything up that you have. We're out of here. We're going to get on a train, and we're going to go as far west as that train will take us. And he was going to go get a new job. They were going to go get a new apartment in some new, you know, much safer, much quieter place, which at the time was Glen Ellen. It's the farthest they could go. Interesting story. And of course, they're not the only ones who fled the city and headed to the suburbs. In fact, over the last, several years, the number hasn't just increased, but it has multiplied. And today it's estimated, I think I heard a number recently, that there are now over 8 million people who make their homes in the suburbs of Chicago. And of course, it's not just here in Chicago, is it? Any major city you go to, you're going to find the same. You're going to find suburbs. And you know what's funny? I was in two cities this month traveling, and I was in suburbs, and they all looked exactly like the suburbs here. It was amazing. Just different license plates. That was it. Different accents. But they looked exactly the same. You know, the suburbs are sort of bittersweet, aren't they? there are certainly some things we probably all hate or dislike about the suburbs, and yet it's the reality for most of us in our lives, including mine. It's just where I live. I've got the suburban life. The three-car garage, the finely manicured lawn. Well, maybe it's not that finely manicured, but we've got a lawn, and I mow it once in a while. But it's a suburban life. And I know it just as well as anybody knows. I was born, raised in the suburbs, lived in the suburbs all my life, moved into, when I lived in Minneapolis, I lived in the city. That was quite an experience for a suburban boy, you know, from the Midwest, and just a totally different experience. But I'll tell you, I start and I finish every day in the suburbs. I mean, you know the routine, right? Your week begins. You wake up in the morning, not to the sound of traffic outside your window, not to the sound of loud pedestrian traffic going on. No, you wake up to just complete silence and your alarm clock going off, and maybe, and sometimes for me, it's my three-year-old telling me I need to get up early at 6:30 in the morning, which I have no idea why she does that, but it's kind of tormenting. Anyway, so I get up, I take a shower, get ready to go, I get in my car that's parked in my garage, I push the button, the garage door opens, I pull out of my slightly slanted concrete driveway, and I head to the office. But before I get to the office, I have to make a stop to my favorite house of worship, St. Arbucks. Maybe you've worshipped there a time or two. And so I get my coffee, I head into the office, I have my meetings, do some writing, do some other things, and then there are those quick lunches at those popular suburban chains, right? Chili's, Panera, all the different ones, and then, of course, it's back to the office where I sleep for a few hours because I'm really tired after eating at those places. It's just amazing. No, I'm kidding. But at the end of the day, what happens? At the end of the day, I go home, get in my car, fire up the big fat stainless steel grill, right? I'm in the backyard with my kids on the big wooden playground in my big backyard. I mean, it's a pretty good life. And then there's the weekends in the suburbs. Friday nights. Oh yeah, it's romance night for us. Oh yeah, we have date night Friday night. And every once in a while they get really romantic. Especially when our highlight of the evening is taking a quick stop by the Bed Bath and Beyond. And then you've got Saturdays in the suburbs. You know the traditional Costco visit? Huh? How many of you Costco people do we have here? Costco. And it feels so good. You know why Costco feels so good to me? Because I'm an executive member. And I have no idea what that means, except that I probably pay a higher yearly fee than most people. And what is it with Costco, by the way? You ever notice when you walk into Costco, something happens to you? It's like you get hypnotized. No, it's true. I mean, suddenly something comes over you, and it's like suddenly you need things that you never knew you needed before. It's true, like those 30-gallon jugs of soy sauce that you bring home, and that's going to last you until your last child finishes college, you know? But that's life in the suburbs, isn't it? And of course, it can be a pretty good life because the suburbs have it all, right? Convenience, safety, they're clean. But yet, you know what's funny about it? You know what's funny about the suburbs? There are nights when I'm at home, and maybe we've gotten the girls down to bed, and it's kind of quiet around the house, and maybe I'm sitting reading in my office or whatever, and my mind begins to quiet down. And I start thinking about this life that so many of us live with all the stuff and all the things. And you know what's funny about it is more often than not, when I really start thinking about all of these things, and when I really begin getting honest with myself, almost always there is something within my heart, within my soul, that feels so, so, so unsatisfied. And sometimes just downright empty. And my guess is that I'm not the only one who feels that way from time to time, right? And in fact, chances are probably all of us have those moments when we come to this realization that this life, this experience that is supposed to be all about safety and convenience and tranquility and all the other things that the suburbs are supposed to be about really only satisfies this outer surface of our lives. And see, here's the thing. It can happen to any of us. Any of us. I mean, this is not just about people who might be far from God, and so they're going to have these moments where they feel this way. I mean, this is even about people who deeply love God. I mean, this is about people who genuinely want to follow Jesus and who go to church, and in some cases, even pastor a church. And it's about people who love their children, people who want what's best for their families. I mean, it's about all of us. And it's about those moments when we find ourselves thinking, is this it? I mean, is this it? I mean, is this ultimately what life is all about? And see, the reason I think we ask this question is very simple. We ask it because underneath the surface of this good life is this strong underlying tone of emptiness. In fact, I'm reminded of something Jesus once said, a scripture. In fact, if you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 10. I want to show you a scripture, or you can look at the screens here. But it's found in a scripture that I think really paints just a really great picture of this kind of life that and the type of things that happen to us. It's found in John 10, and Jesus is talking to a group of religious leaders, and he's using a metaphor to really try and communicate something very powerful. And he says these words, John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, a thief is only there to steal and kill and to destroy. And you know what's funny about that? It's like that's exactly how it can feel sometimes, can't it? In our lives. I mean, that life that we want to experience so bad, and we do experience it, we have it, and it becomes this reality in our lives. But instead of having souls that feel full and that feel satisfied, we have these souls that feel like they've been stolen. They feel like they've been taken away. And yet for most of us, and I know I fall in this category way more than I'd like to admit this evening, but instead of allowing that feeling to drive us into a direction, to drive us to a different way of living and a different way of thinking, what happens? We just keep going. We just keep going. And it's like we're just like that Energizer bunny that just keeps going and going and going and going. And we end up living this same life that looks so good on the surface, but feels so empty on the inside. And yet it's funny because I think there's this tendency for us in the suburbs to not always look so empty, isn't there? Oh yeah, you know that tendency that we have, and we have all the stuff, right? And all the things that tend to cover up that emptiness. And oftentimes what's happening on the inside, we were able to hide it. We're able to not show it. Because we've got busy schedules, we've got a lot of distractions in our lives, and yet when we really get honest with ourselves, when we really get quiet, when we get alone, and when we get honest, we feel it. Watch this.
Happiness is the absence of common sense, a smoking gun. Everything will be just fine, just bite your lip and close your eyes. Where there are no wars, there is no.
kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? I think part of the reason it's uncomfortable is because to some degree we can all relate to that, can't we? I mean, maybe it's not to that degree in your life or mine. But yet I think we all understand that what it's like to live this life that oftentimes just feels like we're just existing. And we're just going through the motions of life. And I mean, we all know what that's like, don't we? And as I watched this, I couldn't help but think, even asking myself, we were looking at this last week, and even just watching it this last week, just going, oh my gosh, wow, that just bothers the daylights out of me. And I started asking myself the question, Scott, what is your happy pill in your life? I mean, what about you tonight? Maybe what in your life? What's your happy pill? Because we all have them. We all have those happy pills. For some, it might be the whole more thing, right? Like, I need more. I need the better car, the better house. I need the newest and the most advanced and the most gigabytes. I need the more. Maybe for some, it's alcohol. To meet that need, you're trying alcohol, or maybe even drugs or sex or perhaps even things like the less obvious things like busyness in our lives. Sometimes we just get so busy, and we like to be busy because it distracts us. And so that busyness becomes that kind of that happy pill. Or what happens when we run out of the happy pills? I mean, then what? Or when you start experiencing that. Just that horrible feeling of emptiness on the inside, or like we read earlier in John chapter 10, like your soul, your heart has been stolen, or maybe even destroyed. I mean, what do we do in those moments? I mean, do we just learn to cope with it? Do we just learn to say, well, you know what, that's life, and maybe someday, somehow, maybe one day it's just all going to get better, so let's just deal with it. I mean, what do we do? Do we pack up and move out of the suburbs? I mean, what do we do? Well, the good news for us tonight is that Jesus gives us hope. In fact, it's found in that same passage we looked at a few minutes ago in John chapter 10. In fact, let's look at it again real quick. Right after the part we read, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And then Jesus follows it up with these words. He says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full. Could we read that one together tonight? Let's read it together. Ready? I have come, the part of Jesus. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Man, I just love how Jesus goes so far out of his way to communicate something here. He says, look, I've come not just to give you life, but to actually make your life full, which means that the solution to that emptiness or to that dark time, those dark times of our life, whatever you want to call it, the solution is not necessarily found by running away from the suburbs as much as it is in finding Jesus in them. It's about finding Jesus in the suburbs. It's about finding Jesus in your everyday life. And of course, if you know anything about Jesus, I mean, even if you, and you know, I know every time we gather like this, there's a room full of people who are at all different places in their spiritual journey, and I don't know, some of you might be here, you might not even be sure what you think about Jesus, and that's okay, we're glad you're here. But here's the thing, I think all of us, if there's anything all of us know about Jesus, even if you aren't convinced that he really was who he said he was, regardless of your religion or your beliefs, if there's one thing that I think all of us would probably agree on when it comes to this man named Jesus, is that there was something very, very unique about this man and his life. And that uniqueness had something to do with his way of living. And of course, that way of living was an amazing life that was just full of, and was just consistently more about other people than it was about himself. I mean, just think about the life of Jesus. I mean, it was what his way of life was all about, wasn't it? Loving others, serving others, and not just others, but I mean, really going after the people who society really looked down upon. I mean, Jesus went after those people, rescuing and healing others. I mean, it was all about living for a greater purpose than just this own individual life. And so when Jesus says, hey, you know what? I've come to show you this, and I've come to show you how to experience this full life, what he gives us in the scriptures is his example. And he gives us an example that shows us how a full life is a life that's more about others than it really is about ourselves. And so maybe another way of saying this, and if you're taking notes, here's a phrase I think you want to write down tonight, is this: a full life is found in we, not me. A full life, I mean, the kind of life that we see Jesus, that he lived, and the kind of life that Jesus offers us is a life that's found in we, turning our focus off of me and onto him, our creator, and onto others, those in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our workplaces who are in need of this full life. And yet you know this as well as I do. It is so much easier said than done when it comes to living like Jesus. Man, it is so easy for me as a pastor. It can be so easy for me to stand up here and tell you that it's all about living like Jesus, but to go out and actually do it in our lives is not an easy thing. Especially when you and I live in an environment like the suburbs. Think about it, that are designed and created to make our lives more and more about what? About me, about you. I mean, about my stuff, about my safety, about my security, about my family, about my convenience. I'm telling you, it can be really, really challenging to live the way of Jesus when the environment where you and I spend the majority of our time in pulls us in an entirely different direction. And yet we learn from Jesus that he says a full life is one that's not all about me, it's one that's all about we, it's about God, it's about others. And that right there is what makes our journey of life so complete and so fulfilling. I mean, think about the times in your life when you feel the most fulfilled. And I'm guessing, because I'm just assuming there's just a lot of really great people in this room tonight. I hope so. But I'm assuming most of you are just really great people. And there's something that when you get your eyes off of you and you get your eyes on someone else, there's something that just feels great about that. There's something about living that way. So the big question is, how do we do that? I mean, how do we really live this way? I mean, we already know it's not easy, regardless of where we live. I mean, I don't think the answer is that we move out of the suburbs, because then we go into the city, and we have a whole other set of challenges in our lives, right? So what do we do? Well, that's exactly why we're doing this series, Suburban Myths. And here's the thing, over these next few weeks, I want to invite you to join me as we journey through the scriptures together and as we learn what the scriptures have to say about living in the way of Jesus. And here's the thing. Here's what I think is going to happen. Okay, listen. I think that as we open up the scriptures, that you and I are going to discover, and especially if you're real new to the Bible, you're going to discover that the scriptures are so much more practical and so much more relevant for your life than you would have ever imagined. I'm telling you that the scriptures talk about areas of our life, I mean, the most important areas of our lives, areas like how to be the best parents we can be. I mean, the scriptures talk to us how to be great leaders, how to handle things like money, how to handle our stuff and all the things in our life. And so these next few weeks, we're going to unpack together some things. Because again, if a full life is a life that's more focused on others than it is myself, then I think we need to take some time to learn how to really live like that. And there's a scripture I want to show you. It's in Hebrews chapter 12 that I think really paints a clear picture for where it all begins. And let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. I'll tell you, this is a perfect example of why the scriptures are, how the scriptures are so practical. Let us strip off those weights. Let us strip off that sin that so easily slows us down on our journey. And let us run with endurance, or with consistency, you could say, the race that God has set before us. And then in verse 2, we're told how we do this. And it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on who? By keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. I just love this. I mean, how do we do it? We do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And believe me, I know there are probably some of you sitting here right now that when you hear that, you're thinking right now, you're probably going, you know what? Okay, I don't like how that sounds. Because first of all, that just sounds difficult to me. I mean, that just sounds really hard. I mean, almost like heavy. That feels just like it would be just this big burden in my life that I got to go and that I got to now live and I got to live like Jesus. I mean, or maybe for some of you, that idea of that just feels forced. Like, how in the world can I live like that? Or maybe, depending on your background, when you hear things like follow Jesus, or when you hear phrases like keep your eyes on Jesus, maybe for you what you think of immediately is a whole list of rules and a list of regulations. And maybe if you can keep all these rules and all these regulations, then maybe God will love you. Maybe you'll be accepted. Or maybe when you hear follow Jesus, you think of the most judgmental Christian you know in your life. Yeah, the one that goes around trying to fix everybody and tries to tell everybody that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And you know what? I completely understand why it can be a challenging concept for people to get excited about following Jesus. Because see, I think for a lot of us, the only idea that we have of what following Jesus looks like has come from watching some of the people who are supposed to be representing him, but for whatever reason just hasn't done a very good job at it. And so one of the things you need to know at the Orchard is that we're simply this. We are simply a community of people who are just trying to learn what it means to follow Jesus in the year 2007. And we believe that the best way to do that is what is like we just read, by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And I mean, that's what we're told to do, right? Keep our eyes on Jesus, not keep your eyes on everybody who claims to be a Christian. Not keep your eyes on Christian television. Uh-oh. You can laugh right there, seriously. We think it's corny too sometimes. All right. But what does it say? It says, keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's not to say that we don't learn from one another or that we don't look at each other's lives and see qualities and believe in mentoring and that kind of thing, because that's just so important too. But the best place to start, especially if you're brand new to this whole thing, is by keeping and looking at the life of Jesus himself, because you just can't go wrong. And really, I love the way Jesus summed it up. I want to show you one more scripture to you, Matthew chapter 11. I want to read from the Message paraphrase. Matthew chapter 11, just listen to these words. Let them absorb in your heart tonight. Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Listen to this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Wow. What a comforting and empowering passage of Scripture. Jesus says, get away with me and you will recover your life. You feel like your life has been stolen. You feel like that the enemy of your life has come in and he's just ripped your soul from under you. Jesus says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Watch how I do it. And I love this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And see, that's what Jesus meant when he said, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you a full life, not a perfect life, not a pain-free life, but a full life, a life that when things might feel like they're crashing all around you, that deep down inside of your soul, you have this thing called rest, and you have this thing called peace. And I'm telling you, that, my friend, is a full life right there. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the things. It's not about trying to keep up with everybody else in your life. It's about experiencing this life that Jesus offers us. It's about experiencing a life that really is impacting people's lives around us, impacting our community, doing good in our community, serving and loving. I mean, that is a full life. So will you join me these next few weeks? And would you join me? In fact, one of the challenges we want to make to you tonight is, would you allow us to help you kind of step out of your comfort zone a little bit over these next few weeks? In fact, there's two very simple things I want to ask you to do tonight. First of all, I want to ask you to do your best to come back here again next weekend. I know for some of you, that's a huge step in your spiritual journey. The fact that you walked in here tonight, that's a huge step for you, and we applaud that. And we want to invite you to come back again. So if you would do that and bring someone with you, don't come alone. But then here's the other thing I want to ask you to do, and this is really practical, and I'm not going to ask you to go home and write a journal. I'm not going to ask you to go home and ask yourself 19 questions every day over these next couple weeks. No, no. It's very simple, okay? Here's what we want you to do. When we say that we want you to keep your eyes on Jesus, and when we say that, I mean, that's what the scriptures say, we want to help you do that. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. On the seat in front of you is a little card. Go ahead and take that card. There's a little card that has some space to write down your name and your email address. And we want to spam you. No, I'm just kidding. If you don't know what spam is, we're not talking about the stuff you eat. And if you eat that, then we're going to pray for you tonight. But here's the thing. We want to help you in a very practical way to keep your eyes focused on living in the way of Jesus as you go throughout your week. Because here's the deal. The answer is not to escape the suburbs. The answer is not to avoid going to all the places. That is not the way we should live. The answer is to find Jesus there. And so the way we're going to do this is we want to send you an email 2, maybe 3 times a week that's going to help you and inspire you to do this and hopefully take some steps forward on your spiritual journey. And so I want to ask you to take out the card, fill it out, put your name down, your email address. We'll be sure to include you. We will not give out your email address to anybody. In fact, when the series is over, if you don't give us permission, we will send you no more emails at all unless you want to keep receiving them, and then we'll ask you to indicate that. But if you change your mind, if you don't like the emails, then hit unsubscribe and you'll be taken off the list. But here's the thing. Hear our heart in this, okay? Our heart is that we can give you a very practical way to take a step forward as you go throughout your week and your journey of following Christ. Because again, and I hope that if there's anything that you are walking out of here with tonight, it's this. Listen, a full life is focused on we, not me. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray tonight. God, this evening we come to you and we bow our hearts before you. God, thank you for your words. Thank you for the scriptures that are so relevant and so practical for our lives. But God, we also know that it's not always easy to follow you. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need to keep our eyes on you, who you are the author, you are the finisher of our faith. And God, tonight I want to pray that you would put your courage on the inside of us. God, I don't know what everybody's dealing with here tonight, but my guess is that everybody has some kind of challenge in their life right now that they're facing. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's a marital issue, maybe it's with their children, maybe it's someone who's single and they're struggling in their dating life, or they're struggling trying to find and meet that right person. God, maybe it's strictly simply a spiritual issue in many of our lives that we've just become stagnant, or maybe we've just kind of stopped taking steps forward. Tonight, God, I want to pray that you would give us the courage to step out of our comfort zones. And God, I pray that you would help us to pray and to seek you with a heart that is brave, with a heart that is willing to step outside of our comfort zones. And rather than look at everybody else around us and what they have and what they don't have and how nice or how not nice they are, God, would you help us to be brave? And would you help us to keep our eyes on you? God, thanks for letting us gather. And thank you for making us brave. Amen.